Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the one and only The Human Turret, one of the best ARs to ever do it. Give it up for the world champ himself, Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. We got some of the best analysis in the game, world champ himself, Christopher Duarte, a.k.a. Parasite. We got the multi-world champion, multi-champion, give it up for the legend, the icon, Patrick Price, a.k.a. Aches. And then, of course, we got the one and only, the executive producer, The Flank, give it up for Ben J. Nassim. Gentlemen, it's an absolute pleasure. Another day, another episode of The Flank. How we doing, man? Chris, how are you, bro?
I'm great. Can't complain. Had a great workout in. Watched some COD. Unfortunately, had a pretty disappointing series as our final one. It was, as an LAG fan, I was pretty upset. But I think we got a lot to talk about when it comes to that roster. Because as Sam would say, I think they're on blow watch.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, they're definitely on blow watch, I think. We'll obviously get to that series. Yeah. That was a shocker to us all, I think, watching it back. I mean, Seattle, they came out, and they were looking like the worst team in the league. And I think, Ben, you said, well, it might be LAG now. Might be LAG was the worst team in the league.
Yeah, it might be.
So we'll obviously get there, and we'll talk about it. Pat, how you doing today, man? You have a good day today or what?
I had a great day. I don't think there is one worst team in the league, Tom. I think there's just a lot of very shitty teams.
There's just a collective at the bottom.
There's just a lot.
Yeah, that's what it seems like at this point. Definitely think it's very top heavy. We're in a very top heavy league, which is what we kind of talked about going into the season. Like going into the year, we were saying that was going to happen by looking at the rosters like on paper. But
I think it'll only get worse too from here because the better teams are just going to keep getting more and more ahead.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Sam, how you doing, bro? You doing all right? Long watch
doing
party
good,
today,
man. Yeah, really, there's some good series today. I'm excited to talk about it. We had some pop-off performances as well, so I'm excited to get into the games.
Yep, for sure. Ben, you doing all right? Everything okay?
Yeah, woke up this morning, was late night playing some pro clubs with the boys. Woke up this morning, watched Formula One, turned the race off after 5 minutes because Max Verstappen was already ahead by 5 seconds. Watched Tottenham make a nice comeback. And then I watched Ian Crimsix Porter from practice to qualifying to the race. Yeah, first overall. Shout out to fucking Porter, man.
Yeah.
I'm going from gamer to winning fucking pro-am races. That's a respectable accomplishment for
him. I mean, seriously, man, take a look at this guy, Porter, man. Look at this guy. He's on the podium with champagne and everything. Is that a green screen podium?
No, it's definitely a podium.
It looks.
Wait, is that a?
it looks like one.
Oh, is that a green?
AI? That's a Vegas.
Yeah, that might be.
Right
that
there.
Might be an AI podium. That might be an. I can't tell. It might be a green screen. But
I don't know why it looks like this. That's
right. Huge congratulations to Crimsix, man. Huge congrats. Obviously,
Porter's.
Porter
know how to spray fucking champagne? What am
he's
I
holding the trophy in one hand? Dude, he's a beast.
Fucking clip.
It is crazy to see Porter and his journey with the whole racing stuff, going from esports player to. Racing, like on the streets, actually racing, not esports racing, like actually in a real car racing. I'm proud of him, man. He's doing his thing. Yeah. He looks good, and he's letting it fly over there. So what was this race? This is just like a racing league that he's in, right? He's in a certain race league.
He's in some pro-am circuit with Porsche cars, 911s, I think. So
that's sick. That's fire.
So
congratulations, Porter.
Yeah,
congratulations to him. Before we move on and talk about some of these matches, Ben, we were talking about something on the watch party. I figured we'll just talk about it right off the rip, the breaking point and the stats. What were you talking about before? Let everybody know what's going on, and I would love to get everybody else's thoughts here on the panel. Go ahead,
Ben. So I've been thinking last couple of weeks about kind of state of stats in regards to the CDL now. There are a lot of great community members that, filled the bridge on stats because we don't have an official Activision stats repository that exists on the Call of Duty website, and it's always pretty much been that way outside of last year. And community people, I mean, coach of Optic JP for a long time was the fucking stats guy in the Call of Duty scene before the CDL. And Breaking Point's one of the best sites that has that resources right now. But if you notice and you watch the CDL broadcast, they often mention stats that are not on the Breaking Point website or not really on any websites. And so from my POV, I feel like as a community, we're kind of missing out because there's clearly things that are being talked about and discussed and data that, people can go through and use it for whatever their purposes are. And it's not publicly available right now. So I'm hoping that the powers may be and kind of adjust that because things like breaking hole percentage, other stats they talk about on broadcast as far as like hard point efficiency, control efficiency are not publicly available stats. And it sucks that, like, I guess they're the ones that really can use it. hopefully that changes.
So who has it? Who has the stats?
So Breaking Point has come out and said over the last couple of years that, you know, they've been doing the stats for the broadcast. So my assumption is they have them, but I don't know if they've got some agreement with, you know,
ESL. They have them, but they can't publish on their own website.
Yeah, they probably that's what I would assume. I don't know for a fact.
They would probably should learn how to negotiate that, because I would, if I'm them, I'm just not doing it at all.
Right. But I was going to say, isn't that something that shouldn't Breaking Point be getting paid if they're providing exclusive stats for the league? They should be getting paid for that if it was exclusive.
I assume they're getting paid. I assume someone's getting paid to work for the show. No.
All right. So then what's the problem?
But I'm saying like that's something that the show desperately needs. So I don't understand why Breaking Point would allow them not to be able to post on their stuff. I would just say no if I'm Breaking Point.
I don't know, but my new thing now is every time they show stats on broadcast, that like these little bugs they fly and they're not public available stats, I'm making a Twitter thread. I'm gonna keep posting them there.
I would also request that we have credit, right? Like if we're posting them, if Breaking Point is the one who's doing the stats, then they should get credit on the show.
Like, yeah, it could just be like via
stats provided by
GG. Yeah, we have no problem with that. Yep.
Yeah.
Zero problem.
Yeah, not sure what's going on with that. We'll see what happens. Definitely think Breaking Point's doing a phenomenal job, though. Shout out to all the guys over at Breaking Point. They're doing a good job with the stats. The website's great. We use the website on the show, so shout out to them. Let's swap on over, and let's get this first series. Let's talk about this first series of the day. We had a Las Vegas Legion going up against the Boston Breach. Boston Breach get 3-0'd here by Las Vegas. We talked about it yesterday, how, you know, doing the predictions, we were all kind of just like on the fence. We thought this was going to be a really good series, go all the way down to the wire. We weren't really too sure who to pick. Sam, I think you were the only one who ended up picking Vegas for this series. But Boston, they get 3-0'd here by the Vegas Legion. I mean, what do you guys think happened here in the series? Pat, we'll start with you down there. What did you think about Vegas coming out with a big 3-0 victory over Boston Breach?
I mean, it was surprising. I mean, we've talked about this Vegas squad. They're definitely looking better, but I don't think they should have won that hard point. And then I'm just surprised that this Boston team is this bad, I guess. I would expect this Boston team to just be better than this Vegas team, straight up. Like, if you look at this team just straight up, they should be better than this Vegas squad. So,
I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say it's too. I don't know about
why,
that.
Why would you not think that?
Well, I think
you don't watch this game and you don't watch Challengers, so you have four people on the other team, three people.
What
on the
does Challengers have to do with anything?
Never heard of.
Damn, bro, shots fired.
I don't like. I just fucking hate that take. Vegas is playing.
Go attach.
This is a team that gets paid
a lot versus a team that gets paid nothing. This team was assembled to be better.
The other team just
blew it up a roster change.
Going into the series, when I was talking about this like on stream, like Vegas is the team that I feel more confident across all three game modes. The problem with this Boston team, not only is their respawn map pool a little bit narrow, I feel like their S&D is a giant fucking question mark, and Vegas is a little bit better at that game mode. And I thought that, you know, outside the hard point one troll, that's when Vegas was able to push their advantage and go up 2-0, and then we had a gritty fucking evasion control as they always go. I thought this was well played by Vegas to fight back map one and then push their advantage on the S&D.
Yeah. Does that have to do anything with what I said, though?
Well, I mean, you're just shitting on fucking Nero and Purge and whatever because you've just been hitting on them from the start. Are you going to get Purge's flowers from his plays in the series?
No, I'm not. Bro, listen, I'm not like you guys, okay? I don't give people the Lamar treatment. Just because they had a 1.0, they're not good to me. That's not impressive. He had a 1.0 and the least damage in the series. Yeah, I'm glad he made some clutch-up plays. Map 1 wouldn't have been close if he wasn't going double negative. It's the same thing. It's like, oh my God, someone's getting shit on and then clutches up. They're the best. That's not how it works. Like, it's just not. That's not normal. Going least damage 1.0 in the series and being like, oh my God, he's the MVP. That's not how shit works. We need to stop, like sugarcoating this shit. Nero was by far and away the MVP of the series. He played the best start to finish. I'm tired of us being like, oh my God, this guy clutched up. He got a 1.0. Like, no. Like, let's be realistic here.
Purge needs work in hard point desperately. Yeah, I think the hard point is where he's struggling the most right now, because he's not a bad search player, and he hasn't had bad performances in control. Matter of fact, in today's control, he had 35 fucking kills. So he was
the most aggressive player in the S&D too.
The search, he was finding a lot of lanes and finding a lot of gaps. Like he was an impact. He obviously went negative in the map. He was an impact. I just think the hard point, he has a hard time finding kills in hard point. And I don't know what it is. Sometimes I feel like he's just moving around too much and needs to simplify his game a little bit. You know, look at your mini map, hold a lane, and just hold an L trigger and play a kill.
He's also said, like, in his interview that he's kind of like in game leader along with Dylan, like attached. So, especially as a sub player, that's kind of hard, like, because you're like in the mix a lot, you're taking routes. So, like, when you're kind of trying to worry about what everybody else is doing while trying to focus
probably
on
not
that,
playing well,
it's pretty difficult. Like, obviously, it's not really like a full on excuse, but like, they're.
It's hard as shit to do, Will, bro.
Yeah,
it's hard as fuck to do. I will vouch on that one. But
definitely still needs to work.
I think it is a game mode thing, though.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of game mode things, I mean, I want to briefly talk about the Boston team because I think Hardpoint, and look, I know they choked this one. I'll probably watch the clip, but I think my bigger concern right now, you know, we've seen them now play quite a few series. They won one S&D and one Control. You can't be a one game mode team, so they got to figure out both in Control and S&D's been a problem for them all season. And how to get an advantage in that, or they're just going to be, you know, stuck in this mid pack, not really going forward, being an inconsistent team. We don't know what we'll get day to day from.
I mean, I think for the most part, Boston needs to just work on their search. So this Control map pool is fucking terrible. They need to work on maps that are actually like normal maps. Like I'm sorry, like if you play Invasion, like as a team, for the most part, unless you're a top four team where you're just going to out talent these teams. When you're in the middle of the pack, you're just asking to just like flip a coin. This map is fucking.
But I think that's what they're. I think that's what they're banking on.
Yeah, they're just so. They're just so bad at the other ones.
They would rather
like,
coin flip around five.
Well, they play high rise. So actually, this split, they're 1-1 on high rise, and they've actually 0-2 on evasion. But they haven't played a single lick of Karachi yet. Again, I'd have to go through the videos and see if that's a product of them removing it or the other team removing it.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for these teams, but at the same time, like you're just doing yourself no favors. Yeah, they. You know,
I mean,
it was 3-2. It was close, but like. It's defense simulator, bro.
Yeah, it is. Unless you're Optic against
I just think
Carolina.
I want to outline this issue with their S&D right now. Their one map that they have a 500 or winning record on is Karachi. They're 3-3. The other maps combined, because they haven't played Rio S&D yet, they're combined 1-9 on Terminal, Invasion, and High Rise. I just want to put that into perspective. Like, if you're a team and you're playing the squad, getting fucking Karachi out of here and go beat us on two of the fucking maps, and likely you're not going to be able to do it.
I'm actually,
agree with you, Chris, they got to work on their search, man.
I'm actually so curious. This is like irrelevant to this series, but I want to know the round count, like average between like all the maps. And like, I want to know like how much this map goes to round five or like a round five compared to the rest. Cause it's got to be like far and away.
I mean, it's probably the fucking highest. 85% of the time.
Dude, it's fucking insane. Like how this map is always 3-2, like regardless of the team, unless you're like a top four team, like just bullying. Like it rarely ever just isn't a 3-2.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so fucking hard to win offense as well. I can tell you right now, offensive win percentage right now is 22.96%. I mean, that's, there you go. So. Like, I don't know what to say about that. That's why 22%. Like people just playing for D's and ticks. And you know, we've talked a lot. Teams have gotten better at trying to hit A Street off the rip, you know, and try and like work B. But we saw in this series that Boston won around offense, got A, and then couldn't cap fucking B.
Yeah, that was a weird round.
So like, you know, anyway, I'll let you go, Tom.
Yeah, there's some clips from the series that I want to pull up and go over and get you guys' thoughts on them. One of them starts here in the hard point. This is obviously a very close game between Boston and Vegas. I like the play from Asim here on rotation. He gets pushed up red, and he's able to find two. Now, I'm going to pause it here after he gets the two-piece. So, do you guys think Boston should close the space here when Asim gets his two-piece and maybe get pushed up a little bit and maybe try and help him out? Or do you think it's a good play for them to just play tight here and just hold after the couple kills go down and just say, hey, you know, Asim, he made a good individual play, just... You know, let him die, boom, and then just hold. Like, what would you guys do in this situation? I guess, Sam, I'll go to you first here. Well, what would you do here? Because I almost feel like, Sam, here, when he gets a two-piece, you close the space, and you get pushed up red, you play a corner, like, you keep him pushed back. Yeah. And if anything, you want them just, you want to flip them eventually. You want to get the first 30 and then flip them back, to the back and get them spawning back dumpster. I would guess that's what they would try and set up. What do you think?
I think the original setup comes from a lack of information. They didn't have the timings to be able to push far enough on the map to get the required information for a decent setup. So I think Asim being out is kind of just like the island player, and every hit kill that he ends up getting is just like almost meaningless at that point, because as soon as he dies, they're still going to be in the exact same setup as if he wasn't there, if that makes sense. So I think the original setup just it starts with a lack of information based on how they're holding pinch and where they are in the hill. But I agree, Tom. As soon as they got the two piece, they need to move because you get one chance to hold when you play a setup like this, and if you don't, you get insta broke.
Yep. Yeah, lack of info could definitely be a big reason as to why they were playing so tight there. And I think Asim just gets a crazy two piece. And yeah, I would have liked to see them get aggressive there. Like even if they just bump there, like number three goes.
Yeah, like one comes over the dumpster. Two, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
their problem is like they're already on the back foot. Like this is not like the setup you want. Like this is you're already spawning dumpster where you have one chance at a hold. If not, you're getting broken. Asim pops a miracle two piece, but at the end of the day, they still don't have info on the other two players. And as soon as they get info on one of the other players, the entire other team just spawns red. So. Like, their whole reason for not moving is probably because they don't want to get caught in transition and essentially just troll because they're getting greedy. It just sucks because it's, like Sam says, it's just a product of, one, lack of information, and two, them being on the bad side of the hill. Like, this is not the place you want to be on the rotation, and you want to try to flip them early towards that back wall. And they just obviously didn't have it. So
yeah, I mean, you can see what happens next.
It's just tough.
And then after all that happens, you know, they kind of get turtled, you know, and then Vegas, they get the close red spawn because Asim gets the kills. He dies. It opens up that red spawn again. And they spawn close and they just flip through front. They're able to break the hill. So it was a good break from Vegas. Thought Boston could have maybe played a little bit better there, but nonetheless, good break from them. And then we go to the next break from the Vegas Legion. I thought this was really good plays here. One, Asim was doing a good job being a nuisance here, like staying pushed out, playing his life green. I mean, it's just the Vegas guys have to worry about him. But I love the play that Vegas Legion make. They all push through and just kind of leave him there. But Dylan, he plays like a corner and plays like a late pinch, and he waits for Asim. You can see on the minimap, he waits and waits, and then boom, he takes care of Asim on a pinch. Now they can all focus front.
Wait, bro. Also, Snoop, like, do you guys really like this? Sorry to cut you off, Tom. Do you guys like this setup with Snoop just holding a corner? They're both holding the same lane.
Hold on, let me.
And the guy in Hill's kind of fucked.
Let me actually just see where everybody else is, because I was, like, focused on Asim's arrow because Tom was bringing it up. But I want to see what, like, 2, 3, and 1 are doing. Because they know the pressure's coming around the back. I'm assuming Asim's calling that. I mean, they just all don't have info, like, at all. Like, yeah, number three's watching essentially what Snoop is hiding from. And then Snoop doesn't really have an angle on number three's front. So I think Snoop and who is number three? Slasher need to play, like, a tighter setup. Or maybe even potentially, like, get off the hill and start scouting for information. Maybe wait for two to get closer. Because right now they're kind of just in a scenario where they don't have any comfortable side of the map. Number two is not even close to his teammates yet. And then, like, there's just too many openings. Like, they just got to be more, like, aware of the pressure that they're about to, like, get hit by and play for the kills.
I think if you're Boston, you just somebody lay down in hill, watch your low red, because nobody has that. Because the number one's top, right? Or right now he's top, but somebody comes in and comes red. And I think it's, wait, let me see. Actually, who's the guy who
Nero,
gets
he walks through front and gets a three piece.
Yeah, so Nero walks through front here. So what did they not? They didn't have top red, right? I don't think they had top red. Yeah, they didn't have top red, which they should focus on. I feel like you want to get top red. And then you just have the guy on hill lay down and stay down from the back and just watch his bottom red. And then Snoopy can play an off angle here and
that's
let
what I'm
Asim
saying,
pinch.
Though. Like they should have played for like a side. They should have played for kills. Like as soon as Asim calls out a guy top three, like, you know, pressure is about to like hit the backside of the hill and they don't even have the front. Like they're getting collapsed on. They should like read this type of pressure and like get off the hill, play for some kills, bait Vegas into like running into them and create some sort of confusion because right now the guy in hill is essentially a sitting duck. There's like two spots on the hill you can actually play.
Yeah.
Like they know he's going to be on that like in that like cubby. So like it's just a free kill. Like he's just waiting.
It's a great play by Nero as well to find the gap and just hit that and pop a three piece there. Really good plays from him. And you can see it's a couple breaks now from Vegas onto Boston that, you know, it was just good plays from Vegas. Honestly, I like the teamwork there. Then we get to the end of the game. And this is where Purge just makes the fucking play. Boston, they're about to win. They have this P1. They're holding it. And Purge, he somehow is able to get up mid-map. Asim with the pole in the way. Can't finish the kill. Purge A is able to throw some shimmies and win two gunfights. He was getting pooped on all map. But he goes absolutely massive in the last P1. Honestly, I thought that was just a great play from Purge. A good way he used the pole for cover, was able to get the guy out of hill, and then Acer ran out of ammo, killed him, popped the two-piece, and then they go big on rotation here. Gio was able to get pushed up dumpster. He was able to pick up these kills. He has attached right there with him, and they were able to hold on here. I mean, if you're Boston, do you do anything differently there? I feel like at that point, you just got to hit your shots.
Can we see their setup?
Yep, I'm going to rewind it back.
They really didn't have much of a setup because they were coming kind of off of spawn. I think the only criticism I have is that I don't know if this streak from Snoop with them so deep off of spawn is really going to them anything.
Wait, number three is looking behind them. They thought somebody was behind them.
They had killed someone pitching part of this.
Was he looking at his back?
Number three?
He turns around and then shows.
I can't tell.
He's holding for a second and turns.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He dies top three. He had killed someone pinching probably 10 seconds earlier. Yeah.
I'm trying to just like see how this all breaks
down.
Number
seven did pinch. He ended up going mid-alley, though.
The guy turns and watches that pinch. Number eight. Damn.
I mean, the biggest kill is right there. If Asim finishes that kill, they win the map.
Yeah.
They win the map. He's just purged. He was able to get behind the pole.
That's just a good play.
It's a good play. I mean, I'm sure Ace of texted me after the game. He lost composure right there.
I just know right here, like, and where Snoop is streaking from and where they are. Like, he gets a kill. Like, is it really going to matter that much?
Purge wins the kill from the front, though. Like, and
but I'm talking about Snoop streaking from the back, and it doesn't. Are they in a position they even try and push
even capitalize on
so
it?
Deep. Yeah.
I mean, they're just desperate at this point. Like, you can't even blame them.
And then they get a whole nother wave here. Boston, they try and get in, but nobody's there. And in Vegas, they go on to win the map number one. So big map number one there from the Vegas Legion. They held on strong. Got a little mixy there. Pat, any thoughts on the map one? Sam, any thoughts?
I just wanted to go back. Was Purge 11-24 before he got that two-piece middle map?
Yeah,
he getting fucking slammed this map, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was giving credit for him getting a couple kills at the end.
He made the impact.
Regardless, he won them the game.
Are you talking about Meep Slay? You talking about
if you're gonna lose your team,
because I said Purge is Meep the hard point. He needs a lot of work and hard.
We literally spent 3 minutes talking about it. Like
giving credit is crazy, though.
Well, did he or did he not make the place to win here at the end?
I mean, after setting his team up to get world starred the rest of the map. Yeah. I mean, if Ben, I get it. You never play. You've never been on a team. If someone does that, that's not a good attribute to have as a player. I get it. You wouldn't understand
obviously,
that.
You should get a couple more kills.
But that's not a good attribute. I would never want a teammate getting shit on the whole time and be like, wow, you got a two piece to luckily win a Bella Sal. Great. But you got shit on the whole time.
Let's move on. I want to take a look here at this first round here on defense here. This might have been the slowest fucking retake of all time from the Boston Breach. And I'm just going to let it play out. Bomb's going down. Love the rush A play here off the rip.
Great round one strat.
Yeah,
fucking
I like the round one strat.
Round one strat by Vegas. Yep.
And then let's take a look here at the plays from Boston. Let's take a look at that mini map and just see what happens here. And you can just see the time is just ticking and ticking and ticking. Are we gonna hit a fucking go button or what?
I mean, they know the priest should
just waiting
tell
for a scam,
them that
bro.
No one crossed diner. That means they're all gonna be here.
Now they're finally getting into fights with 18 seconds left. It's when the first set of fights go down with 18 seconds left. Nero's in an off angle. Boom. There's not even enough time on the clock. Nero finds two. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, they were definitely trying to look for a scam there, huh, Sam? That's probably what they were trying to do.
Yeah, no, they absolutely were waiting for the scam. Or like a shoulder from somebody for info.
Were they waiting on Austin to flank, and he just took forever?
Wait, hold on. Go back one more time. Yeah, I want to see Priestess POV. I need to see this again, because regardless if this guy's flanking,
it's still going to throw a red.
Once Priest, hold on.
I got smoked off. Oh, no, we can still see it.
Either way, he sees once this guy sees that basically no one crossed, he needs to go towards the bus stop and just basically hold front ticket and not move, and then let the rest of his team just clear this out. If he clears out the inner ticket, there is basically they can almost like hot bomb. Like, you see what I'm saying? And like just force it. Yeah. They don't even need to chase these kills. Like,
wait,
sure,
go back and watch Slasher's arrow from when the bomb went down. He was checking every corner in the back of the
which
map.
Which is fine, but
which is fine. Like, you let him do whatever he wants.
Damn.
I'm saying Preston cuts this off. He goes towards the curve of the diner and basically just looks into the ticket building. And then at that point, if you just look at like all the hop outs, they are not stopping you from defusing this bomb. Like, there's no reason for everybody to just running in red, checking 300 corners when they essentially just gave up full control. They planted it for one spot on the map, and you just cut that off and then get on the bomb.
Yeah. I thought that was They had the info, and it took them a really long time to make a play. But nonetheless, good first round from the Vegas Legion. Then we head into the next round. This is the 3-1 round here, and this is just Dylan Attach. Dylan Attach things. It's a 2v3 with the bomb down. You can see Nero and Dylan are left up. Nero's able to find one, but it's that late flank from Attach. Now, we were talking about it.
No, he can't do this anymore, bro. Yeah, we're on to him. We're on to him.
Hey, Sam, you think we're on to him, Sam?
Yeah, I think we might be on to him, bro.
Yeah,
he's been... I hope the league teams are on to him. If the flank co-hosts are on to him, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I think that's one thing, right? Is like it's going to be a mind game now. Like Dylan can play that mind game where it's like, you know, is he flanking? Is he not flanking? Right? Like that's kind of like, and that's the thing. He does a good job timing it. You know, yeah, he doesn't
he
just played,
when he did it what twice, right?
He did it twice. I have the other round written down. I have the other round here as well. It's the next one I have up. So then this is the 3-3 round. And you can see Dylan Attach here. He does the same thing. Look how far away he is here. Look how far away. Bombs down. He still's not moving. Still not moving. Now with like 36 seconds, he's gonna make his move, and he's gonna pounce and he's gonna go for it. And you could just see Boston. I mean, Dylan's hitting those timings perfectly. He knows Boston's gonna be looking for a late pinch, but after like 10 or 15 seconds, he knows they have no choice but to give that up. They can't sit there and hold it all day. They have to go get the bomb. And then Dylan times it right. He times it perfectly. And then obviously he's able to stay alive here. I think he ends up getting that kill too, or somebody kills him there. But absolute masterclass here from Dylan Attach. What do you guys think about the late flank play? I love it. I love a play like that. Of course.
I was actually godlike.
If it works, it looks great. If all your teammates die and you're P1 and they're on the bomb, it's going to look really tough. But
again,
they've been backing a pretty standard default in the way they played that post plan.
It's also just a product of the way Boston's opting to retake. Like, when that bomb goes down, if nobody crosses Diner, usually if it's planted in the spot everybody else plants it from, there is one place they can be. If not, they have to overextend and jump out of all their windows. They can only peek it from ticket. If it, like where the bomb is, they can only shoot you off from ticket. If you get ticket control or look at ticket, They have to chow that. If not, they're jumping out of single window.
So you think they should plant the bomb in a better spot, Chris? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, they could either
plant it for some options, maybe.
You can. Well, no, that's not even like the issue. Even if you plant it there, like you have, like the team that's retaking has to acknowledge where it's planted for and just realize that, hey, I can hop this.
They got
only one place. They have to overextend. Let's play for that instead of searching for them. You're just wasting your time. You're falling into their trap. It's just pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Tom. I'll say the point for after. Go ahead.
I got a 2v3 here. Slasher able to win a fight. He makes it a 3v2 situation. Think Asim probably lost composure here. He tried to slide out, gets a dead slide, ends up dying. He might have died anyway. But now it's a 2v2 situation. And Boston end up throwing this round away too. They had the numbers. Granted, Asim did die off bomb, but you see Dylan Attach. He's able to turn his corner, gets that cruise missile, and then last one up is going to be Snoopy. And Snoopy gets taken down by Geo. Just a good retake again from Vegas. This was another big round. This could have been tied up at 4, and instead it looks a little bit different. And Vegas ended up going up 5-3. What did you guys think about this round? Think Boston could have done anything differently here? You thought Vegas made good plays? What did you think?
I think Attach had a god timing to hit underneath the bridge. Yeah, I think he jumped off the bow. Austin didn't see him, ran through the bridge. But I think less about this round and more the overall concept. I think Boston's post plans on this map were just not great. I think they had a couple opportunities. And they ended up winning it, I believe. I think it was Snoopy in a 1v1, but it was a 4v2 B bomb down, and they ended up in a late round 1v1. So, granted, again, they won it, but there's just a couple situations, and we've seen this across the league now. We saw it in Minnesota yesterday as well. It's just like these teams are not optimally playing the easy part of, like, once you get the bomb down, the percentage of winning the round goes astronomically higher, and I don't think these teams are playing accordingly.
Any pros in the chat? Do you guys have that bug right now where when you plant, you basically cannot sprint? Because I saw Asim get
sprinted
off the bomb,
right? Watch. He sprinted.
And he tried to move and crouched and stuff like that.
No. So he sprinted.
Look at Nero. Nero said yes. They have that bug.
But look in that third person. Asim literally went to the sprinting animation.
No, but like you're stuck. Sprinting. Like that's why.
I love everyone in chat saying yes. That's
he's
awesome.
Saying yes. Either way.
But look at it in 3P. He's sprinting.
Well, I don't know. Listen, I know Nero says that they have the bug and it's a consistent bug in challengers right now in private match. It doesn't happen in rank play. There's a bug where it's hard to get off the bomb. I don't know how to explain it. And I'm pretty sure Asim
think he got
died.
Stuck in the mud?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Asim died because he tried getting off the bomb and that happened to him. So, fix the fucking game. because
I mean, I think to fix a game, but I also think Boston's got to fix their search. Like,
yeah, no, I don't care. Saying...
I'm telling you, Chad. Like, if you go look it up, pick whatever like stat you want with Boston, they're going to be in the bottom of the league and virtually every S&D stat. Whatever the way that they're trying to execute their S&D tactics or post plants or retakes, it's not working, and there's a reason these guys only won four of them so
bug
far this
is,
year.
So the bug is you can't sprint until the bomb is put away in your hands, like you're walking. So, like, as you see, he's walking, tries the slide before the bomb's out of his hands, and he can't and dies. Like,
yeah. Those slides aren't game, possible dude. Next Defiant, by the way.
Fix the fucking game, dude.
Yeah, agreed. It would be nice if they could fix the game. But, guys, that's the clips I had for the first series. Any thoughts on the series as a whole? I thought Vegas came out, and I thought it was a good statement win for them. They've been looking good. That's what, three straight from them? Is that three in a row? Yeah. Hey, that's the highest win streak from Las Vegas ever, right? In the CDL? It's
got
to
be. I mean, they've got Thieves, Seattle, Carolina coming. I mean, they're
those are all W's.
They could end up like 6-1.
6-1, 7-0, and getting a good seed now.
Yeah.
We'll see, you know, how they do when they have to play, like, you know, obviously face Toronto, New York, whatever. But you're taking advantage of your schedule. You lost that match against Toronto, but you've cleaned up house and everybody else. You got to respect what Vegas is doing so far in the split.
Yeah, no, 100%. Good job from Vegas. It's my man Dylan Attach. And Dylan Attach was a masterclass in the S&Ds, man. He continues to fry in the searches, man. That's his game mode. Pat, any final thoughts? Chris, any final thoughts? Ready to move on?
No, I'm ready to move on.
All right, let's move on. Then after the first series between Boston and let's move on to the next one. We got Optic Texas going up against Carolina Royal Ravens. This one ended up being a 3-1 victory for Optic Texas over Carolina. Was a good matchup from them, especially the
map. They even lose the map.
Yeah,
it's high rise, and they don't play that shit.
The high rise S&D was atrocious. We'll go over. There's a few clips from it that I want to show. But take a look here at the stat sheet. Green carpet for Optic Texas. Everybody showing out in the damage department, the kill department on the other side.
Poor Gwyn.
Gwyn, man. Gwyn needs some help.
Guys playing 1v4.
This is what I was talking about yesterday with Carolina when we were doing our predictions. They have a really tough time slaying or keeping up with slaying it with the top teams. Like I said this yesterday going into the match, and we saw it here today. Seems like Gwyn's the only one sometimes that can like piece together a few kills and try and keep him in this game. And even the way he plays too, like Gwyn's a very aggressive player as well. Like he's in the mix. He needs some help. He needs some help in the kill department. It shows in the stat sheet.
I think as far as slaying, the biggest issue or concern I have is I love Fellow, but I mean, there's a lot of evidence now with him on this team when it's not going well. Like he's the one that's really struggling the response for them. And Clay's obviously always been a bit up and down. They have a good player in Gwyn, and I thought TJ has moments in this series, but he's also not the most like elite response player of all time. But, so yeah,
are we saying only Fellow?
I wonder if Clay, all three of them except Gwyn this whole year. I wonder if Clay needs to like slow down because he's always involved in the damage department.
Wait, hold on, relax. You're glad he's speeding up when they dropped Donner X.
Well, maybe to a degree. Like obviously he found some sort of balance and was playing better, but now he's kind of just like
he's still putting up.
You're not listening. Let me finish my statement, brother. He's putting up still a lot of damage, but he's just like not finishing kills. No, I'm not. I'm literally saying maybe he needs to like tone it down. Maybe he's like
somebody on the flip. Someone in the chat, find me the clip when Chris was like, "No, Chris, they dropped Gunner X. Clay's gonna fry. He's gonna speed up. He's gonna be so fast.
And he did, and he did, and now he's playing worse. Oh, like maybe he needs to find a balance.
Can we talk about like an actual thing other than just like match by match? Oh, he did good this match. Did bad this match. Did good this match. Did. Like, bro, him speeding up is horrible. Like, right. I don't know why that was ever a fucking take that we thought was going to be good.
Yeah, I don't think it's as black and white as that either.
It's like, not as black and white. He's still putting
online,
up,
this team has been shit the whole time. This whole squad, except for Gwyn.
He's still putting up a lot of damage. He's not finishing his kills. He's not, like, he's still involved in the fight. Like, Fellow having 10K damage in a series is fucking unacceptable. That shit is...
Your fellow's been bad online since the inception of him being on the roster.
Did Purge just have 9K? But it wasn't unacceptable for him?
When they won the series is different. Like, and also, it was a 3-0. It wasn't a 3-1. It was an extra map.
Oh,
an extra map is like almost like a guaranteed like 2 to 3K damage usually if you're playing average. But you get the point. Like, and he's an AR player. AR players essentially just put down damage. They're always just shooting cross map, tagging people. Like, it's different. Point is... 10K damage, you're not even involved. Like, you're not even shooting your gun. You're just, like, walking around getting shot in the back or just, like, not even shooting at the enemy team. Like, Fellow is just not good, at least online. He hasn't played good at all this whole time.
Sam, you've been pretty quiet. What did you think?
I think Gwynn needs some fucking help, bro. Yeah. Like that. I mean, everyone kind of touched on it, but I mean, he's been their North Star the entire season. I think he's had literally one bad performance against, oh, was it like Optic or something? He had a bad series. Other than that, I can't really point to one. And Fellow is yet to go positive, I'm assuming, online. And Clay, while did play better when Fellow originally joined the roster, has regressed to the mean for sure. And they just really don't have the slaying capacity to, like, not only bail themselves out of situations, but put themselves in good situations either.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Ben. I didn't mean to cut you off before when you were talking.
I agree with that because they've improved the S&D, and I thought the high rise, you know, they weren't getting first bloods. I think they were playing the situation as well.
How many S&Ds have they won online?
You know? Five, and they won three in this stage. Actually,
I'm glad that's better.
It might be four because they won one against New York, right? Maybe four, but... Either way, I thought the S&Ds have been much better for Carolina those last couple of matches, but the respawns have not.
Well, there's also teams like testing Matt Pool for how shit this team is. That's also something you got to keep in mind.
Well, I mean, listen, there's a reason that Optic's doing. There's a reason Optic's doing that, right? You know, you look at S&D for Optic right now, and they're not a great terminal S&D team. They're not a great high rise S&D team, and teams are going to look at that and be like, well, you can't ban both, so we're going to put one in the series, and you're going to have to win it. On the evasion hardpoint side, I also see that for Optic based on, for map pool reasons, why that would get in this series. So I kind of get it from the Optic front. But I think for Carolina, I think you guys touched on it, man. They got to figure out how to get a little more consistent on the sling and the respawns. Because I actually thought these two were point maps, and I know Ant went off big in map 4. We'll probably talk about that in a sec. Like,
and they map 1, too.
Yeah, and they map were two. In map 1. I mean, map 2. He was plays the entire series was one kill away from 100.
Map 3.
But I also thought that Carolina kept these fairly competitive, these maps, even though Optic was controlling them. I think a couple more kills, you know, these things get interesting, but man, that we guys want to talk about Ant now? Fucking masterclass from fucking Mr. Shotzi?
Yeah, I mean,
if I load up rank play, I'm going to do the same thing. Like, he's shooting against the worst team in the league. I'm so tired. Bro, we got to hold. Bro, there are four teams. They're all equally dog shit. Like, you can't distinguish. Just because it's like a German Shepherd shit, a Husky shit, poodle shit, like they're all shit. Like there's no differences. Yeah, like they're
the
all bad.
Your watch is top four matches.
Yeah, because bro, the reality is like understand. We gotta gas it up. We gotta entertain. But these teams are terrible. Let's stop acting like they're not. All these this entire roster, this whole Carolina squad, except for Gwynn, needs to blow it up. They're not good. I'm not impressed when Scrappy farms these guys. I'm not impressed when Simp farms these guys. I'm sure as hell not impressed when Shotzi farms these guys. They're awful. Like,
well,
let's stop
fair,
pretending like
fair,
this is
Shotzi
something
played,
impressive.
To be fair, Shotzi has had overall like really good series like this whole like stage. Like he's played a lot better. Granted,
who have
he's
they
probably,
played, Chris?
I don't remember. You'd have to go back and look their shit.
Thieves, dog shit.
Rocker.
Dog shit.
LAG. Carolina.
Dog shit. Oh, all the dog shits. Okay, but okay, oh, but by the way, against his last matches against all the top teams. 0.84, 0.79, and 0.89.
During major one, obviously we'll see when they
the good teams, just the good teams.
Well, I know, but they've got New York. They've got what? This is what I think they're playing New York and someone else, right?
Yeah.
I know New York coming up soon, so we'll see. At the end of the stage will be the big test for
Optic. I think he just looks better. Like, he's just playing way more comfortable on the map, and he's also just kind of not, like, trolling. Like, I feel like he's not really doing too much. I think he's just playing. He's finding his pace, at least from what it looks like now. We'll see when he plays those other teams. I'm not going to jump the bandwagon, but he has been playing good this stage, regardless of who his competition is. I mean, you can only, you know, play against the people in front
absolutely.
Of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's our jobs to talk realistically about who he's playing against.
I mean, I just don't know how you look at a guy drop 99 kills in a four-map series. You're not giving him his flowers, but I guess...
Because who he did it against is the point. What do you mean? Like, Ben, if Chris goes and plays a Challenger Cup next weekend and shits on the first three rounds of bad players and then gets world starred in the final rounds, I'm not going to give Chris his flowers for shitting on the bad teams. Like, I hold that. I that is the same logic I apply to everybody in the league.
If you fry a bad team, I'm not giving you credit.
So if Am pulls up this playing bad and plays well and gets like, you know, MVP or
then
MVP,
he'll give
like,
him his flowers.
We'll yeah, his flowers if he all plays right against good teams and does good, absolutely. And I give that to everybody.
Make sure, chat, you clip it and ship it, bro.
But the problem is we say two, this now, and then when shit happens and then they doesn't, we're just like, oh, it was just a bad event. Like, they're just not as good as Toronto or FaZe or whatever.
Well, I mean, listen, let's get to this point.
Let's just be realistic right? The entire time.
Respawns, I thought that the two hard points, they played perfectly fine. Obviously, little things with Rio. Everybody's still feeling out that map. I think Invasions, first time they played on new patch, that map's a fucking clusterfuck. The control, I literally went to get my food during that map. That was fucking clean. But the high-rise S&D was a little bit of a troll out of them, and that's really the issue with Optic. They got to figure out how to be a better...
Their S&D map team, was just shit.
It's going to be a huge problem against New York. It's a huge problem against Toronto. Huge problem with FaZe. It's just going to be really difficult to go in a series against those teams and take two hard points in a control. You're going to have to take surges off those squads, and right now, I know they made some improvements when they were at stage one, but there's still issues with the map pull in high rise and with terminal.
Also, going back to a couple months, not months, weeks ago, we were talking about Shotzi in general, his play style, and it's like, yeah, Shotzi playing like this, he versus this type of team, he can do whatever he wants on the map. But when you play against other teams who lock down the map and like actually have map control, and he can't run around and play like a demon like you would in rank play, then it doesn't work. And that's the difference. So, like, if anything, I think Shotzi doing this same play style against these guys, and obviously it working because he's just better than the other team, that could really bite him in the ass when he plays good teams. Scrappy is, and Insight aren't letting him run around the map like that. Telling him Drodza not.
To be fair.
Like, it's the same logic.
Even when Optic was playing, like, bad teams in the first stage, Shotzi was still relatively quiet. We were always talking about they're lucky Kenny and Pred are on their team. I still remember the conversations we've had.
They were the only ones getting kills.
They were also, then, but they're also well, yeah, behind
the
during
thing.
Stage one.
Exactly.
We
but that's what I'm saying.
That.
Like then, as like the stage goes on and we're going out of the next stage, I think Dashi stepped up a lot, and I think Shotzi has also been playing well. I think Kenny hasn't. He's not regressed isn't the word, but he's not like necessarily having to put up
doesn't
insane
carry.
Numbers. To win series, even versus the bottom teams, regardless of who they're playing against, the way they've been playing this stage is a good sign because they're showing up to these series for the most part and taking care of business. They even had a series where they should have lost, and they still managed definitively and still managed to claw back into every game under insane adversity and still close it out. So
I forget we're a little different. In those situations aren't.
No one's giving them credit. We're saying. There's good signs there.
Did Optic lose to any?
See, just like I
did. Optic lose to any bad team in the first event or first stage?
Miami.
But like, I'm not giving them credit, Pat. I'm saying there's good signs here. Just like I said,
the
same thing about New York before. The way they're playing, there's good signs there. Let's wait and see if they can get over the hump that held them back in the first stage. It's the same conversation here.
Pat, can I ask you? Has Shotzi not performed against good teams this year so far?
I haven't seen it. No, have you?
I don't know if he has, like statistically.
I just think in general is it.
Did you rattle off real KDs?
I'd have to go back and find. I someone sent me all the screenshots of his breaking points against all the top teams.
But before we go on,
here we go. Shotzi 0.71. This is red carpet. Another all Optic red carpet against a good team, and another all red carpet.
Which is 0.75 against FaZe and one against New York first week of the season, right?
And 0.71.
Correct. You're talking about the three matches against FaZe and the one match against New York, which is the first match of the season. They haven't played Toronto yet, I believe, correct?
Who did they play in stage one outside of they played New York and then
they
played
New York first
played Toronto,
match of the season?
Yeah.
They played
FaZe
three times.
They put them online twice.
That's what it was for.
Regardless if
yeah.
Ann hasn't performed against the good
all
teams,
the good teams. No, it wasn't just him. It was the whole squad.
Yeah,
they were all red carpet.
He also hasn't performed this well against any of the bad teams. Like this whole stage, I think he's been world starring. He's had maybe like a bad map in some series, but for the most part, he's always been playing like
listen. If them going up against top teams has been a struggle for them, like obviously, you know, that's what Pat's looking for, right? He wants to see Shotzi do this against the top teams, which I feel like is a fair critique. I feel like it's a fair critique for sure. But I definitely think you can't deny the fact that Shotzi is definitely finding his
rhythm. He had a great season.
I'm saying, even when you go back and you're reading off these KDs and stuff, and we're looking at these series.
Oh, no, guys, I'm talking. I'm fucking tired. Let everybody else talk. I said it for 5 minutes. I was quiet. You can't always look at KD when it comes to a player like Shotzi. And granted, if it's 0.6, 0.7, Pat, like I'm right there with you, bro, especially consistently. Yeah, I mean, kills, damage. You gotta look at everything. But it's like you said, even with the top teams, I mean, they were all red carpet. It was all of them. You know, I definitely think when you watch Shotzi play, bro, like he's a clear superstar. Pat, you got it. I don't know how you could say otherwise. Honestly,
if we're comparing him strictly against the top team, he's absolutely not. Versus all the bottom teams. And that's
but Shotzi
12,
has performed. Now, granted,
but that's not a superstar to me. If you only shit on the bad teams, I don't view you as a superstar.
But he has played well against good teams in the past, Pat. Maybe not so. Well, this game, I can't speak for this game. It's still. Listen, I think in this game he hasn't performed against the top teams yet. I think he's capable. They all really haven't performed against top teams in the past, and you know, game to game, Slaya. You know,
but at the end of last year. And all
he'll
this
be
game,
fine.
And which is when I took away, when I stopped saying he's a superstar, I haven't seen him perform.
I think it's a fair critique to say he hasn't performed against the top teams.
And maybe I judge superstars
this year.
Differently.
Only this
like,
year, Pat. Only
I,
this year.
But I listed off in MW2 who I thought were superstar. I think it was five
players. But Pat, you,
the same thing this
you
year,
actually believe, just answer me this question. You actually believe that Shotzi can't perform against top teams?
I don't think he can't, but
I'm saying
but,
he hasn't. He's just
saying
he hasn't.
Saying he hasn't. And so for me,
right, but
he's
the
not
way
a
he's
superstar.
Talking makes it seem like he's not a superstar and he can't, which I just disagree with it personally.
Because this is true in all of sports. There are plenty of people with potential, right? Like there are, I mean, think about like first round draft
Ben
picks
Simmons.
That end up, yeah, like there are clearly people with potential to be superstars, but like you get that label, and then if you don't perform at a superstar level, compared to other superstars, then you're no longer called a superstar. And
just
for
a
me,
standard, bro.
I'm seeing Scrappy perform consistently against
standard.
Everybody. Just like last year, I saw Hydra do it. We saw a lot of other players do it. Those guys maintain the superstar title because superstar to me means no matter who you play, no matter what day you play, no matter what event you play, no matter what match time you have, if you played the last match of the day, then the first match of the day, superstars show up. In series, every time they take over games, they bail their teams out of situations that they shouldn't win, and they consistently perform.
Listen, as someone that used to watch the Knicks on OKC back in the day, and those guys were superstars, and they weren't exactly fucking clutching it up either. James Harden on the Rockets had some.
Kevin Durant was the only superstar
games.
On that team.
Oh,
yeah. Period. I mean, listen.
All right, and he's the only one that's.
I mean, we're definitely going on in circles. Like, we can obviously just have our own opinions
on
it.
Am I lying? Kevin Durant was the only superstar on that team. Russell Westbrook was a...
Doesn't Optic... Ben, who does Optic play next?
Regular season
Toronto, right?
Optic plays Boston, and they play Toronto or New York. I expect... Listen, we watch Boston today. I think Optic should be able to handle them just because we spawn, and then I think Optic's still a better search team than Boston is. The Toronto-New York matches are going to be a huge test for this Optic team because the map pool... Bastion Search, I have questions, but I want to give Optic their flowers. Four matches now, four control wins. They're currently undefeated in the game mode to split. Let's see if they can keep that going.
Honestly, their control today was flawless. I don't know if that was flawless
Bro,
from Optic
was like
or just
the most
dirt
dominant
shit.
Offensive
yeah.
invasion performance.
I don't even
I've
know what Carolina was doing, to be honest.
It might have been
you.
Dirt shit, Tom.
It might have been dirt shit. I mean, I would definitely will say that Optic was, again, when it comes to the respawns, I just felt like Carolina couldn't get kills. Because both offenses they won was just like they got like three waves of fucking kills.
Does Optic not play High Rise? Is that the one they don't play?
They lost it to Atlanta at the major, and I don't think they really play. I think they've only played it like three times, and I think they're like 1-2 on it or something like that.
So that's probably the
they don't really play it.
They've lost Terminal
Void.
No, I'm talking about Control.
Oh, we're talking about Control of High Rise.
I'm pretty sure they're like 1-2 or something.
They're gonna have to play it. We talked about this. You with the three map pool and control. If you're coming from losers in the grand finals, you're gonna play your worst control map. The series goes the distance. So you got to be good all three control maps. You're gonna get closed out game 5, 6 or whatever in that series, and not have a chance to win it. So
the thing is, they gotta get reps.
Everybody's telling me to pull up Dashy's tweet. What did he tweet again? He tweeted
something about Hilkin and stuff.
Yeah.
I just think they're going to end up running into an issue where teams are essentially going to be able to force them into playing.
They have telegraph vetoes, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So
every team you go into the series, after today, I don't think we see them play high rise S&D for like a very long time, bro. They got 6-1 by Carolina.
They're playing terminal, bro. Like I know. If I'm Toronto or FaZe, I know those teams don't play term, but like
they're just pigeonholing their vetoes. And also, they are fucking disgusting at Rio Hardpoint. That the sub duo of Pred and Shotzi, I know they love the map. They've said they love the map publicly. They say it in the interviews. Like, teams listen to this shit, and there are probably like two teams in the league that would play them on Rio, FaZe being one. So going forward, Opti just has extremely telegraphed vetoes series to series. And it was an issue at the major. And while granted, they are winning these series, Shotzi is playing very well. Everyone's doing their thing. Like, it's still a problem. The problem has not gone away.
Easy to play against the top teams.
Like, yes, the problem has not gone away from the major.
Because what happens is that because they're not confident in their S&D map pool, they pick team A because they want to make sure they can win first map. But then if they lose their map pick, they need their team's S&D map pick. And that's why they've gone down 0-2 in a bunch of series so far this season.
Yeah. Few clips from the series. In the first map, we had back-to-back listenings, and they actually kept the listening on Optic for a little while. I thought it was a pretty good listening, so let's tune in and see how the Optic boys were sounding in the series.
You're really gonna see the
All right, that's gonna do it for the listening for Optic Tuxus. I thought they sounded good, and on the break when they streaked, honestly, I thought they played it great. I thought they were gonna break it there. The streak, the re-streaking back by Carolina was a good play, and I think the guy in Hill was the one who streaked. It was Gwyn, so he kind of saved the break there for Carolina, at least in my opinion. What did you guys think about the listening?
I think they sounded good, but like once that streak popped off for them, I think some information got lost. You see Kenny run out whenever Pred called out that
sprinting with a streak in the air.
Pred called out that they restreaked, and he probably didn't hear him. I'd assume because there's probably a little bit of clutter, but for the most part, it was pretty good.
Yep, and we had a close game here as well. We got a Carolina listening as well. Let's tune into Carolina. They went into a listening at the end of the game here, so let's lock in and see how they sound.
Pop shot to me, Dad.
Nice.
That's a spawn.
I'm getting ASMD right now. I'm getting ASMD.
Old weak and stunned.
Hitting small. One shot, Pred.
One shot, American.
I got him freezer.
A mid tank. Shots east.
Dashy old and hill.
He's left to me. Dashy. He's front DVD.
They don't time. I'm just staying down in time. He's close right on me. He might stun on me.
Blue tank. Back blue tank. Blue tank on you weak.
Five a tro.
One with DVD. Beat down.
He's mid.
Four.
He's
pulling gas, right?
They should be.
I might split him.
Look for split.
I'm looking for fire tank. Fire tank going. It's on fire tank.
One split on us. I'm looking at the SND. I'm on the
behind him, Coffin. I can help you.
Yeah,
and he's behind me. Oh my god.
Cafe dead. Cafe mid tank somewhere.
Mid tank. Left side.
One shot, Ken. Any time.
What's that time? He's a trip down.
One new on me. Brandon. I hear you on new. Brandon. We're gonna have to pinch around here, guys, okay?
Yeah.
Kenny was on old left side.
In Cafe, Pred.
And Fred and Cafe Weeks. Fred and Cafe Weeks. And he's laying down V-Dom.
And he wants to
lay down next to Fred Cafe behind them.
I got one Cafe.
I think my favorite part about that is like you get the four.
All right, that's listening from Carolina. A little frustrated at times. If I felt, I felt frustrations from at a couple moments in that listening, but I didn't think they sounded that bad. They had a lot of energy towards the end of it. Just
I mean they sounded all right, but there's just times where like people are not like giving you relevant information, or when like somebody was making a play and didn't even say anything to their teammates. I think like Teach was flanking DVD and he didn't even say, "Yo, I'm pinching DVD, I'm behind him." Like he just called out that there's a guy front DVD. Like he could have said, you know, I'm being nitpicky here, but he could have easily said that. And then Clay's in like a 1v1 with Dashy with nobody even near him, and he's like calling out, "Yo, Dashy's one shot." Like, "Yo, nobody can help you." So yeah. I don't know. It's just obviously just the big difference between comms from like the better teams and then the lower tier teams, because sometimes they're just giving out irrelevant information.
Everybody keeps coming in the chat. Apparently, Shotzi broke the kill record today. Did he break the kill record?
The hard point kill record.
Yeah.
It was a hard point kill record. I was gonna say, because what's the kill record in an overall series?
100-something.
103 by medals, I think.
Okay, because that was close. If that went to another map, he would have broke it. If it did happen,
he would have broke it. He would have broke it by a pretty decent amount if it went to another map.
Yeah, no, it was a good series from him. But let's hop over into the S&D. This was a big round here for Optic. See off the rip, Gwyn. He was making plays all game long, getting behind them. And somehow, some way, he got pushed off the map by an imaginary fucking ghost or something. It looked like a burst of wind just blew him off the map, right?
It's because of the vents, bro. The vents
are cheese,
bro. The vents
bro.
Bump you, dude. They bump you.
But then after, I'm going to skim through this round a little bit, but they end up choking his round. So Gwyn falls off the map. And then you can see there's one player here, TJ. He dies. It's a 2v4 situation for Carolina, and you could kind of see how this ends up unfolding. I don't know how the hell Optic didn't win this round. And it starts here. He doesn't see him on the bomb. The bomb goes down. Kenny gets the bomb down. Tyler Fellow comes in with the quick trade. I'm thinking this got to be traded here. This guy on bomb, like, this got to be insta-traded. But instead, takes a little while for them to get the trade. Clay comes here. He gets a big two-piece. And now we're just in a 1v1 here. It's Clay versus AG. And Clay makes a great play here. I like the play he ends up making. He ends up staying tucked in here, and he goes right back to where he just came from. And AG honestly just kind of loses him and doesn't know where the heck he went. AG ends up climbing a ladder and getting the shot in the back here from Clay. So really good plays coming out of Clayster and Fellow there for the 2v4.
Do you like the play from AG and not like just trying to play his spawns and just kind of playing it for him? Do you guys like him trying to readdress?
Readjust?
Lots of breakdown here because it's planning for window, right?
That
corner?
No.
Spawn window. You can see
for,
it
for
window.
Right, yeah. For you're talking about, oh yeah, the spawn window. Yeah, you could probably see it. You could probably still stretch it though, where you're not seeing from the window, right?
Or am I wrong?
It's not from where he is. Not from where he planted it.
It's to stretch now.
Okay. I thought maybe he can get a stretch there. But yeah, I thought right here, AG should have pushed, should have ran at Clay. He should have ran he should have went forward here. Instead, he went underground. He thought that Clay was jumping down.
It just turned
into
a timing fight as soon as he let the information that he had go.
Yeah, he let the information that he had go, and then he lost him, and then Clay was able to get the kill.
That was just timings.
Yeah.
I just thought, in general, like, I know Brent ended up pinching through the other bomb site. Like, they had a planner for their side, and they could have played numbers and trades and the crosses, and I think maybe they tried to do a little too much that round.
Yeah, I would have liked to see them trade that guy on bomb a little faster, too. That way they could have maybe been together more, maybe traded out that last guy. That way Clay wasn't able to make that play. But I think Tyler Fellow finding that kill on bomb and staying alive for a few seconds was a big play there. Then we hop into the 4-1 round. And who is it? It's TJ Haley versus Pred in the 1v1. This is the battle of the century. Everybody knows TJ is 7-0 against Pred until today. Now it's 7-1. Pred finally does it. He takes down TJ Haley. But you can see, I just thought that was a funny 1v1.
You know TJ's talking
and
about it right there. The way he's smiling, he's talking about it.
Yeah, 100%. You can
he's
just
like,
see it in their
can't
face.
Fucking guard me.
Yeah, he's saying something.
Thought that was a funny round. Obviously, TJ showing out in the search. And then we go to the last and final round here with Optic. And then again, this is just another 2v3. That's blown away from Optic. So you can see 2v3 here. I mean, if you're Optic, just drop the bomb. Let's get in the backside of the bomb, drop the bomb, have somebody look over you. If somebody comes and shoots you off the bomb, just try and trade it out. I mean, I know it's a lot easier said than done watching it back. But I just think they waited too long here. Dashy ends up getting picked as well, which doesn't help. Clay was able to find a big one-on-one there on the street. Was able to get a pick without getting traded. And then Kenny, eventually, he tries to go for the bomb. But TJ, his timings were on point. he was just reading the plant, and TJ's able to shoot him off of it. And with 20 seconds left, I mean, there wasn't really much of a play here for AG. I would like to see him maybe grab the bomb and make something happen. I don't know what this play was. I don't know what I don't know what his thought process was here, running towards windows, but
yeah, he was a little lost.
As you can see, that's three rounds there that you saw Optic lose with numbers. So, you know, a game in six rounds could have very well been 3-3. Ended up being 4-1, 5-1. Carolina were able to steal the S&D. Any final thoughts on the S&D, gentlemen?
Well, I mean, that's just the issue for Optic. Are you gonna? Are you down to play high rise where your issue has been tossing
their
plugs?
High rise anymore.
Or you're down to play the grittiness that is fucking Terminal S&D, which they haven't had a lot of success on either. So
yeah,
tough decisions.
And then this is the end of the control from Optic. This is the end of the first offense on control. So it starts with AG. You can see he gets pushed up mid map. He's able to find one, finds a big two piece here in Mannequin. And then that's where the collapse pretty much comes in from Optic. They're able to trying to just make their way through the front of this point. You see Kenny, he's already on there. Tags come down. Love the child air from Kenny. Kill feed, all white. Kenny, Dashy, Shotzi, everybody getting kills. The two stack coming in from Optic. And then you can see Pred, he's working that pinch again. He's trying to get over there to help him. Honestly, this is what Optic did to them on two offenses. They pretty much did the same thing. They were able to just get pushed up Mannequin, get on the point, work some pieces, and clutch the control. Anything from Carolina there that you guys noticed? What do you think they just got absolutely shit on in the gunfights?
Bro, I'm not gonna lie. I went to take a shower. I got out of the shower. This map was gone.
They double offense.
I was mind blown.
Yeah. They sabotaged them. I saw TJ tweet now. He uses linear now.
No
way.
No fucking way.
Small thing from the clip. The reason I know, not only because they're winning the rounds, obviously, the reason I know Optic is good at offense on this map is if you guys pay attention to the lives at the end of the round, there's 40 seconds left and they are already out of lives. So that not only are they like managing who's capping the point and like pushing out the proper lanes, getting the kills, a lot of times on invasion offense, you'll just see it go to time and really, really never goes to lives. But there are 40 seconds left and they have two lives. Yeah. So the way that they're playing this, like, just the concepts of their invasion offense are just, like, infinitely ahead of the majority of the league.
Yeah, no, I agree. They played their offenses here really well. And that was the first offense to go on. They win the defense. And then this was the second offense over here towards the end of this one. You can see AG, he finds a kill by B. They had just kind of arrow-winded a little bit. He just gets a kill here by B, which AG was doing a good job just finessing over there, just staying alive. And it starts here. A little overchild there from Clayster. He ends up going down. Brucey puts some good shots then in there. And then he's able to slide onto the point as well and drop a trophy down, which is huge. If you can get on the point and get a trophy down, that's big. And I think they dropped two trophies on the point. And you can see everybody from Carolina starts to panic when a couple players get on this point and Carolina at the end of falling. Why was Carolina still going towards B?
There's a streak in the air in the middle of this clip. I don't know why. I guess they were just trying to play exits off of it, and they didn't realize that Bruce was here.
But
they didn't really have info.
Look at this. I'm just rewinding. They had that shit. They've been happy. Why were they going? I'm surprised they're not refilling left here. They should just be refilling. Like, I don't even think.
Like, Brandon gets here with no info. Like, he gets here without being seen.
Yeah,
so
but TJ and Fellow, is there any, and I could be wrong here, should they not try and wrap left here and try and get, like, mid and left control and just let...
Absolutely.
Like, if they're going to go around right...
Where's TJ even going?
Yeah, I don't know where they're going there. Because if realistically, right, even if you give up the right side of the map and they push through it, as long as you're pushed out left and mid, you know that. You have all the info. Yeah. So you're like, you know, they're going around the
they
right...
They still got to cross at some point.
Yeah, eventually they're gonna have to try to cross.
That was a 6 and 18 play for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. I really wasn't sure what they were doing.
I gotta hit a flank.
Yeah, you have all of Optic hitting B, and you have two guys from Carolina like CD like playing B Street. It just didn't make any sense there. But good map three from Optic. They end up winning 3-0 here in the control, and then of course I didn't have much to show in the Rio. To be honest with you, it just seemed like a Shotzi Pred masterclass. But I did want to bring up the topic of discussion, Ben. I know you were talking about it on the watch party. You said we'll talk about it on the show. This was obviously the stat sheet here for the Rio here, Optic versus Carolina. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about Atlanta FaZe and how, you know, with the amount of kills, some of the plays made on the map, we thought they should have won by more. Ben, I know you wanted to kind of bring up this scoreboard here and kind of argue that point. So I'll let you have the floor here, and then I'll let everybody counterpart. Go ahead.
I'm not.
What was the score, Tom?
Make sure we're counting how much we're out slaying by before we start here.
The score was 250 to 206.
No. We're not doing this, Ben. You made it a point during the watch party. You wanted to.
I wrote it down, Ben. I wrote it down.
So we're here.
Here's my real point, which is I think it's very difficult. We've now watched Real plenty of times. It's very difficult teams to blow people out by 100, 150. I thought Optic played this map great. I thought there were only a couple of hills they really struggled on. There was the P1, which Gwyn got like 17 kills. There was a couple of back-to-back P3s. Everybody kept flipping. But now I think Optic controlled to start to finish. And yeah, and I had to drop 43 kills. But I thought they controlled this map clean. That was my point yesterday. It was less about kill whoring and the amount of kills. Optic FaZe let that map start to finish. And I just think it's going to be hard routine to pull up to Rio in a real match and just win by 100.
It's not the same, and I'll tell you why. In this score sheet,
we just backtrack.
Something you'll
hard.
Never get from that's me not, is backtracking. That's a fact.
You just backtracked so fucking hard compared to earlier.
You cannot compare the
God.
Two. You cannot compare the two, and I'll tell you why. Here you have two people that are playing really well and like carrying the load and kills. That's one player on the map at one area of the map at a time, right? So, like, in every single push, he's involved in one play where he's getting kills. When you have your whole entire team slamming positive outslaying, that means every single player on the map in every single play is just picking a player, picking a player, picking a player, picking a player. You have infinitely more space when every single player on your team is that positive.
Here, did he backtrack?
It's not the same.
Yes.
How did I backtrack?
I don't know.
Because as soon as that map ended, hold on, Chris. After the map ended, earlier during the watch party, you said, "Ooh, huh? They barely won that one. Can't wait to bring that one up later
that's
on the
not,
show."
Did I use those exact words?
We are capping.
Does someone have a quote?
Bet. Listen, bet. You know I keep it 100 with you. You know I keep it 100. You 100% said that. I wrote it down.
Did I say that word for word?
You said word for word. We'll talk about that later on the show. Word for word, Ben. You said we'll talk about it on the show. Word for word.
Yeah, word for word. I did say we're talking about a show, but not what fucking Sam
somebody
said.
Tweet Tom to clip, please.
Chat, please.
You can't clip on YouTube. That's the problem. So it's hard to clip.
Oh, great. Shitty platform.
Here's my takeaway.
He might be able to. I don't know.
Again, I'm going to repeat what I said, bro. It is very hard for people to blow up people on Real. Optic obviously only won this map by like 40 or 50, but Randy was sitting here when we got through the first rotation and felt like fucking Optic wasn't going to win this because
they didn't outslay by that much.
They outslayed by like 10,
yeah, but
Ben.
They were in control of this fucking map after the fucking fourth hill.
Well, they were still in control of it, but they didn't outslay by that much. They didn't outslay by three times the amount.
I'm not talking about outslaying. You're not listening to what I'm saying. You're not listening to what I'm
saying. Go ahead, Ben. We'll listen.
The issue with her yesterday.
Bro, I would agree with you that Rio
fucking yesterday.
Say it a little bit faster.
Let Ben have the floor. Go ahead, Ben.
Get to the point straight away so we're on the same page.
This shit is so dumb. Listen, my point I'm trying to make about Rio is our assumptions of what is a good or bad map on this map is so like fucking backwards after what I've seen by everybody. Like people win this map by 60 or 70 and we're saying that they played like a mid map and I'm just so fucking confused.
We never said that.
We said FaZe yesterday played a poor Rio for the scoreline, to which you then argued profusely, insisting that you could not possibly be wrong for the entirety of that show into today.
Yep.
And then after the Rio today said, can't wait to debate this later, then proceeded to backtrack and change the argument.
How have I backtracked? Explain to me. Word for word.
I like the conviction.
Are you fucking dead ass?
Yeah, that's your only response to it. It's just fucking.
Bro,
you
said yesterday, I called them kill horse. Then I argued that they should have won by way more. You said, bro, what do you mean? They were ahead the whole time. After the Optic game ended, you said, close game there. Can't wait to talk about it later. Bro, are you fucking serious?
I want you to record a video and go break down them playing that map.
Wait, which one? FaZe?
Yeah, I want Sam to do it.
I don't.
Hey, go! You want Sam to record a video and do what?
Yeah, and see if he feels the same way after watching the map back.
I watched MC watch his whole team die three times on a P5 and get outscored 40-20.
Yeah,
Ben,
they're chilling out of the P5 and they get three dead.
Okay, that's
because they're pushing up. The teammates are fucking dying.
Yeah, they're making mistakes. They're playing
so like
bad.
That, and you're putting that on MC because he's being a kill whore.
It's an example from the map, Ben.
Yeah, now
Tom,
I'm finding examples.
Tom, there's only one way to settle this.
What do you want me to argue on? Hypothetical?
Mano y mano. Boxing ring. Mano y mano.
2v2 code names right now, live on the show.
Let's see the chemistry. Yo, Slay, all I know is that'd we're 4-0, Slay. We're 4-0.
Would rather be fucking make something up than talk about something that happened on the map? Or
no, you provide not. An example.
No, next
That's
topic.
All good.
Next topic.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at matches tomorrow because, we got some bangers.
There's for a reason. For a good reason.
Skip the series again.
Yeah, I was going to skip that. You want to talk about it?
We have to talk about it.
No, I'm just kidding. I literally just pulled up predictions by accident. Yeah, we got the Los Angeles Gorillas getting pooped on 3-0 by the Seattle Surge. We all thought Seattle was the worst.
Hold on, I have a clip. I have a clip. Where do you want me to put it, Tom?
You can put in my Twitter DM, the Flank Production DM.
It's coming right now.
Right in the Flank Production.
Shout out to Turtle. We got a clip live from the YouTube stream earlier.
All right, we got a lot.
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it. Let's tune in.
Let's go into a live listening with the clip. Let's take a look.
Off.
So you guys don't just, you guys
shit,
don't
what
feel
a
like
series, bro.
I mean, how long did Slay not buy here?
For super clean.
A lot. All right, I just want us to compare. I could do live on the show. Let's talk about that on the show.
1300 damage.
4K.
Yeah, we'll do it on the show. Which I agree with what you said, but it's all compared to what fucking Sam said.
4K, Ben. It's 4K. It's
not. Do you hear your fucking
bro, we gotta stop talking over the clip. Like,
bro,
I couldn't even hear the end of it.
I agreed with what? No. Because I'm annoyed because I agree with what you said, Tom. But did I say what Pat said, Sam said I said on the show?
Bro, it wasn't even right there. It was after the med, bro. No, I'm not talking. I'll move on, bro.
This is why
I can't get into shit like that.
I think we'll just move on. Call it a fucking day. You know what I mean? Call it a fucking day. Let's go over this fucking dog shit series. This series was terrible.
There we go.
The Los Angeles Gorillas somehow, some way, fall to the Seattle Surge. Their whole fucking team was in ranked play after they got 3-0'd yesterday. And I was like, what the hell are they doing in rank play now? I might have been.
They were warming up for the LAG. They did it right, Tom.
I guess so. I was low key hating. I said, why the fuck are these motherfuckers queuing up in ranked play as a squad?
They were farming you for the game tomorrow.
They farmed me hard, Sam. I was off the Papaya playing with Doug Martin, who got assassinated by Nate Shaw 4 times in one match.
That unnecessary dog stray.
My bad. I didn't have to throw a Doug stray. Yeah. Shout out to my Doug's my duo right now in rain play. It's my duo. You know what I mean? And Z Carbone. Shout out to Z in the chat. Seattle Surge. They come out. They get a 3-0 victory over the LAG. LAG, almost the red carpet here. Fame the only one who's green over there. What'd you guys think about the series? I mean, Sam, we'll start with you on this one. What did you think about the series? I think we were all shocked when Seattle came out and got a 3-0 here.
Kind of just want to circle back to the beginning of the round, the beginning of the show, when we said there really isn't like one worst team in the league. There's just like a pool of shit at the bottom. And I think these are two teams that are in that shit.
And LAG's below the Seattle shit now.
Sure. I mean, if it's just Australian Shepherd shit.
Some dog shit more than others. Still sure. Same shit. But.
I think LAG losing the series is pretty indicative of just like where they are, bro. Seattle is an absolutely hopeless camp, and they managed to get 3-0'd by them. I will say Fame still looks good. Connor has definitely trended downward for sure. Adam, I think, is just playing the same that he has the whole year. No offense to him, but I mean, bro, let's be honest.
Wait, Chris, these are your guys. Why did Diamond get regressed so much?
Chris, what happened to these guys, bro?
I don't know. I think he's probably just fucking frustrated or something. But to be honest, I don't know. The team's just been poor. Like, you can see in his face every time they choke a map, the guy's losing his fucking head. And it's probably not helping his gameplay. But either way, like, dude, this team just loses in the same ways. It's like, if they lose hardpoint, bro, I have zero faith in them winning a search and destroy. Zero. Just not even
They gotta win the hardpoints first, though. This team just, I think to your point, Chris, and you probably feel this way. I've never seen a team troll so many maps where they're just in winning positions.
They trolled the hardpoint.
Going the last couple of hills. Like, do you agree, Chris? In respawns, especially?
Oh, no, I completely agree. But I just think, I mean, I don't know. I think this team just needs to make a a change for culture, like, period. Like, they just need something fresh.
What?
They had culture at the beginning.
Wait, they're just, what?
They're just like, they're too far gone at this point. Like,
what?
They just make your change.
You are on these guys not changing forever because they got late. The chemistry.
Now look at them.
Bro, we are backtracking. Yo, we are backtracking.
What do you want me to do? Just sit there and be like, yo, they're garbage. They're getting worse. Yo, stay the same, guys. You're fine. No.
That's what you said a few weeks ago.
No, I said I'm going to give them time to bring it back. That's my point.
Why are we giving people time?
Because time matters.
Bro, no, it doesn't matter, bro. We are educated people.
Bro,
like, we've seen this shit for 10 years.
You think every team is the same team from start to finish of the year?
Yes. For the shit teams, absolutely. Bro, we have seen this time and time, year after year. It's so easy to look at a team who is dog shit and be like, they are going to be dog shit the entire year. No matter what they do. And people in chat who are referencing LAT are the dumbest motherfuckers that I've ever seen in my life.
Ever.
They had some of the most talent in the world. They just sucked. But they had the talent to win.
And then after overtime, they got better. They won championships.
What about your team in War 2?
Bring my team. We instantly made a roster change in April and then got second at an event. And then had a one-month bad S&D spree and then won again.
If it was for that one-month bad spree.
Bro, my EG team blew it up.
The season started in November.
Wait, my EG team blew it up. I mean, that's not our fault. Do you understand? Ben, I get you didn't play. You don't understand how the format works. In World War II, you were locked to a roster for the entirety of a stage. There was only one roster change period, and it was in April after the end of stage one. The Seattle event, when the relegation occurred, was the only time period that any team who was in a league could make a change. And as soon as we could make a change, we made the change. It wasn't like we kept the team because we wanted to. We would have made it long before that if we could. We couldn't. That's how it worked.
I told the fucking team off the rip.
I mean, you probably would have helped me. I mean, I ended up winning champs anyway and beat Ian. So, I mean, what would that have done?
Teams can get better. I will say that definitely in this league right now, with the way the top four teams are, it's extremely and utterly unlikely that some, like, diamond or rough team is going to pull, like, United, come out of nowhere and just really be up there with the contenders. But I agree with Chris. I think you look at this team and you see what, especially the air duo is, I think one of them probably has to go. And you got to find someone who's a little bit more aggressive, play with pace, because they're finally getting... We didn't get a lot at the beginning of the season. Great contributions from Fame. He's putting on good pressure. Eshville's getting some good series, although didn't play that great today. But I think it's clear between Adam and
Donald.
You cannot
get Adam or Connor to play good at the same time, and that is the problem.
What team was ever bad that got good at the end of the year? Like, that was actually
like defined bad.
EG, World War II.
No, we made a roster change.
Oh, you did?
We dropped two people. We dropped Nameless and Enable and picked up Cillian Assault.
Name one team. I can't remember what LG kept the roster that was not a successful team
a year before and then just randomly got better.
LAT's Vanguard.
They had success. They were good players. They're all world champions. Name one roster of people who were not good.
Sam, come on. Y'all were dog shit, bro.
I am wholeheartedly agreeing. We were pissed.
Yeah. No, Pat, they were fucking terrible.
But that's not the same argument. Those guys were full of winners. Those were literally all winning players.
But like, we can't just say that.
Yes, we can. Name one roster of just dog shit players that magically got better later on.
I mean, teams can improve regardless if they're
winning. Well, you're losing. You made a roster change and you dropped your winners, Pat, in World War II
I had more championships than all of them combined. So that doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the thing. Pat doesn't see improvement.
Ian for
Pat
silly.
Doesn't see a team as improving if they're not beating a top four team. Like, a team can be the bottom of the barrel and start to win a couple series
make a roster change?
Because it's not as simple as, like, you're all of a sudden going to be a top four team. There's just not that much talent available. Like,
no, but making changes makes you better. If you make good roster changes, you get better.
Look at Toronto Ultra and what they did in Cold War.
Yeah, look at what they did last year. They damn near got second the last two events and dropped Hixie and they picked up an all-star. Yeah.
The problem is with the way the talent is in challengers and stuff like that, people are not sure. They're not sold on the fact that they can 100% make an upgrade by picking up a new player in challengers.
Yeah, and J-Cap wasn't sure that Ghosty, Abuza, Gwyn, and fucking Linz were going to be better than Cammy.
I made a joke referencing that Pat would bring this up at some point during the watch party, and I got it.
I'm giving you the last
take. If you're a bottom team, take risk.
Disagreeing with you in terms of what I would do. I'm telling you the logic in which teams look for roster changes, especially now. They first evaluate if they can make a direct change that will 100% get them better. If they cannot, they try to improve their issues internally.
And they stay shit.
That. And if they cannot do that, then they make that change.
And then two stages have gone by. They're in shit standings in the league, and their hope for champs is gone.
And that is what it is. It is what it is.
Why are we okay with that? Why do we condone that, though? That's not okay.
Because that's not always
That's just franchise after franchise that are LAG has never qualified for champs because they've had that same mentality for 5 years.
They had a year where they won an event and didn't qualify for champs.
Like, bro, these teams do this. Like,
yeah, I've been ripping it the last 10 minutes.
There is five or six franchises who just accept being shit, and they don't make roster changes, and they don't take risks, and they miss champs, and they repeat and do the same thing, and they're still shit. Like, why do we not call this out on the show? Why do we condone this and say like,
wait, we tell people they are terrible.
Let them
pass with the chosen people.
Whoa! Do you not remember Chris? The whole first 3-4 months of this game.
They got like
he was
a top
like,
six
oh,
placing.
Wait, these guys got so much chemistry. They're all friends.
Yeah, and they're
going to work
six.
For these guys. Like, there's no roster change they could make. They don't want to break up the chemistry they have.
They got
and now
six.
You're like, they're shit because they've been shit.
They got a good placing on land. They were
but
bad.
Who cares?
And they could have got top four, and then they went
top
home.
Six,
and they
but
got
who cares? Anyone well, that had shit. Any sense at all, and I'm talking just pure common sense, could have called this from the get-go. And if you didn't, then you're just delusional.
I will back Pat up. You know, we did mention a bunch on the show. We're like, with this team, it's like, not really winning S&Ds. That's a bit of an issue. The Salt Diamond Con thing might be an issue. Things they got to navigate going forward. But I think to Chris's point, like, they got top six at that event. I didn't think they were going to make a change regardless after that. But it's clear now. And I think
it's
Chris
clear
is,
now. That's what I'm saying.
They wasted time.
It's not
you move
clear
on.
Before.
Chris, don't
it's
even worry about it. Before.
I don't think they would have gotten like a cramp or any. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they were never
going to get a station. Why not? He was in challengers. Why? He could have got Asim.
I mean, would Asim have joined this LAG team after they fucking
burned
him at the beginning of the year?
I'm sure he would have.
But again, why are we even arguing that these are like game changer players? Like these players
also,
have got on
also,
their
hold
current
on.
Teams that they are on now.
I,
and
let's,
arguably
let's
those
also
teams
be
are still
realistic.
In the same place.
Yo, Nub got to feel vindicated.
Why do we care though? Why do we care about their placing at the event? They played Thieves and Legion. They played the two worst teams in the world at Call of Duty. Challenger teams were better
Vegas
than those
not,
teams
Vegas
at Major 1.
The worst team in the world
this right is now. Pre-roster change Vegas. Yes, they were the worst team in the world. So was Thieves.
And they
so
made
my
a change.
Point is, yeah, they made a change, and look at them now. But again, why wait? With like anyone with any fucking sense could have told them to make a change a year ago.
So this is my question, because I don't know if you guys know. Are LAG in a position where they can actually make a roster change this year? Like, are they actually going to want to pull?
That's
they have like four coaches, don't they?
We don't know what the status.
They keep adding
coaches.
They
I would hope so.
They have a sub on their. They have a sub on their roster. Flames, who's an AR, so obviously he could always get maybe a shot. But regardless of the fact of the, we can't just sit there and argue like, oh, do we know if the award can make? Who gives a fuck? Like, we're not. It's not our business or responsibility to know that stuff.
I know. Actually, it is definitely our. Question worth asking with them considering their org situation.
It's fucking LAG, bro. Like, these guys are I don't know what they're fucking doing over there. That organization is even an org anymore. It's like, run by one person.
To give my POV, I don't mind them sticking out after that event to see if they can work on their issues. It was a gamble. It's clearly not paid out. They've been terrible.
Exactly.
It's been terrible to split. And really, honestly, they should make a change now. To your point, if they got Flames, bro, try him out after this weekend. I know it's gonna fuck over. He's an elite team. Are they still this team still in the elite? Chris, you know?
No, they're not. So well, they can try it if they really want to.
I really just don't think it's worth waiting for LAG. I think if you make a change, make it now.
I mean, like, either way, bro, like Pat said, like, all these teams made changes, but like, these teams that made changes didn't get drastically better. Like, they also still have issues
Vegas
they gotta work on.
Vegas got way better.
Well, Vegas got drastically better.
They also I'm talking about like Boston and fucking Thieves. Like, and then yeah, of course, yeah. Vegas also has an easier schedule, but
because Thieves made the worst roster change of all time.
Okay, but still, that's the point. Like,
again, but that goes back to the franchise and the camp that's making changes. Yes, make fucking good roster changes. That is absolutely an important part. Like, if you're gonna make a roster change, don't pick up people that you know aren't moving the needle.
Well, I think either way, LAG, listen, if LAG don't, you know, do something to shuffle up here, ideally a roster.
There's no guarantee that these people are going to move the needle, bro. There's like one team that's been able to move the needle with the roster changes.
Take risk. Look at who Thieves picked up. I mean, they recycled talent that have already been in the league and were already known quantity.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that's why teams don't do it.
Yeah, we're going in circles, all right? Let's move on. Let's do predictions for tomorrow. All right, we got Miami going up against the New York Subliners. I'm personally going to go with New York here. I think New York's obviously been just looking a lot better in their most recent series. And I think we've been waiting for New York to kind of catch this fire and just kind of reign through the league, kind of like what they did last year. And Paco has been on his absolute bullshit. So I'm going to go New York Subliners 3-0. I think they're going to 3-0 Miami tomorrow. Ben, who do you got?
I think Miami's good for one, but I just cannot pick them against a New York team that's in cruise control. So 3-1 New York.
Sam LaRue.
DoorDash, one of the fastest series of the year. New York, 3-0.
Chris?
New York, shouldn't be close.
Slayer?
I hope Miami blow it up after this series.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Let's move on. Atlanta FaZe versus Toronto Ultra.
Thank fucking God.
I am going to go 3-2, Toronto, man. It hurts my soul.
Oh, shit.
It hurts my soul. But I will say this. I hope FaZe proves me wrong, and maybe it'll motivate him to come out and get that W. I will be rooting for the FaZe boys tomorrow. Ben, who do you got?
If we're going based on sort of evidence, the way Toronto's playing, I'm going 3-1 Toronto.
LaRue.
Toronto Ultra in a 3-2 banger.
I got Toronto, but I think FaZe is starting to play a little bit better, so I really hope they put up a fight, because if it's like the major, then, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Slayer!
FaZe overperformed to keep the record safe, 3-1, FaZe.
Ooh, record cheese.
3-1, FaZe?
Overperformed to keep the record is certainly a statement.
I like that.
I don't know, that series is going to be fucking incredible tomorrow.
I can't wait for that tomorrow. I wish it was last.
Yeah,
but we
got
an even better one coming up next.
The Minnesota Rocker going up against the Los Angeles Thieves.
Bro, Rocker's playing their fifth match, and Thieves have only played two so far. It's fucking
insane. It's a W schedule.
Fucking insane, bro.
I am going to go with the LA Thieves 3-2.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, huh? I think these are starting to look better now. Hopefully they can ride off some momentum and keep it going. Go ahead. And Dan Gosi keeps slamming ranked. Go ahead, Ben.
I got Rocker 3-1.
Fuck.
Bro.
Okay.
I got...
Do I?
Wait, that's everybody right. Who slams me with a full squad in ranked wins. Like Thieves...
Who did you get slammed by?
Thieves was full. I played fucking Dan Ghosty and half of Thieves. I think it was Kremp. They fucking were going fucking nuts. They won their series the next day. Then I played again at night. I played Seattle Surge. They went in 3-0. Boom, Seattle Surge. You got to think, Slay.
Wait, Tommy, by that sort of logic, then I guess me and the Derek the Goat should be in the league because we slam you all the time.
Nah, we beat you guys multiple times. We've beaten you guys multiple times.
Yo, I got LAT 3-1,
hey, you guys break GAs. You guys break GAs and hack and G. You know what I'm saying?
We're calling hacks.
You guys are fucking hackers and cheaters. And you GA and your minions stream snipe and they sound EQ and they're like little fucking gremlins. They're little fucking gremlins.
Yeah, of course you do, pussy. Yeah, I got you, Tom. Don't worry.
Thank you, Sam. Fucking piece of shit.
But you're actually sound EQing in ranked?
Bro, I don't want
bro, they sound EQ in ranked. I've never seen anything like it. It's like they're playing MW2.
You don't want your ears to blow up. You're sound EQing.
And then we lose Pat and they come on the mics and start talking shit.
Sound EQ makes explosions and like gunshots lower, so it's just like it's easier to listen to.
I'm awakening to the same thing.
Yeah, saving his ears, bro.
I'm not a competitor. I'm going to use it. Like, what? It's nice. It's nice on my ears. I'm using that shit.
Pat, you see what I'm talking about, Pat? Pat, you see what I got to deal with it? Just build different, bro. Listen, bro. I'm an honorable man.
Not in a good way.
Yeah, you...
Anyways,
Like I got these.
Let's go, Chris. Don't sell. Don't sell.
I cannot believe.
Don't sell.
I am saying the Thieves are going to win this series.
Let's fucking go. Damn.
I cannot believe my eyes.
Let's fucking go, baby.
Damn. Oh. Pat?
God, both of you are so bad.
Drive us home, Pat. Drive us home.
Gotta go, Rocker.
God, you.
The Minnesota Rocker, Pat. That's your final?
Yeah.
I see you got FaZe and Rocker. It's phenomenal. Yeah. All right, Ben J, sink us out, Ben. Sink us out.
Oh, before I sink this pot, we had someone in our crew have a birthday this week that we did not shout out yesterday. Shout out to Jaden. His birthday was
yesterday. Hey, shout out to Jaden, man.
Oh, Jaden.
I think Jaden's 25. I think.
Hey, happy birthday, Jaden. Happy birthday.
I slammed that guy in ranked. He caught. Wait, he also costed me so hard, bro.
Did he?
Zero. Yeah, bro. 0 seconds in an invasion hardpoint. Zero.
Jesus Christ.
Couldn't believe it. Happy birthday, though.
Happy birthday, Jaden. It's a pleasure. I don't know if he's in the chat right now. Twitter. But happy birthday, man.
Wait, wait. He's 22. You called him 25. Damn.
Damn, my bad, son. Benjamin Seam steps up to the plate. He's got his slippies on. He's going to line it up on a green. He's going to set himself. And here he goes. He's going to let it rip. And he sinks the pot nice and easy. Wipes off the hands.
Great work out of Benjamin.
And it's clinical.
That's great work, Ben.
From Ben J. Nassim, it's absolutely clinical. Ben, a lot of people are very happy in the chat. Well, not everybody, but...
Well, we can't make everybody happy.
Yeah, can't make everybody happy.
By the way, LeBron is about to have 40,000 points for anyone not tuning in.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit. A record get broken that'll never get broken again. It is
he has
alive.
Like six of those.
LeBron James.
This one's an insane.
LeBron James is the best basketball player to ever play basketball.
What's he, year 20 now?
Period.
And he's still a superstar.
Bro, I saw somebody. I don't know who it was. They were talking about how all of his, like, who would have to average what throughout, like, the course of their career to actually break LeBron's numbers. And it's, like, it's impossible. It's literally not doable.
No, there's no one in
the
league right now.
He's the best, guys. He's the best. LeBron's the best, man. He's the consistency. The consistency he's been doing it at every single year is insane. It's just fucking insane.
No, the only people that say like MJ are a hater, just Ben is better, just fucking.
You think so?
Chicago sports fans, bro, they're just biased.
Pat, who's your number one, MJ or LeBron? I'm actually curious because you love MJ.
LeBron, it's not close.
Okay.
It's fucking LeBron. No one's doing what he's doing in year 20.
All right, well,
MJ has got two on lock though, and no one in the league will pass.
Well, listen. Folks, that's going to do it for us here on the flank. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the show. Got a little rowdy, but it was a good one. I had fun. Hope you guys had fun as well. Appreciate everybody who tuned into every one of our watch parties, whoever you were tuning into today. I know a lot of people here were live watch partying, so shout out to everybody who watch party. We got an amazing set of matches tomorrow, so I'm excited for all of those and to be back tomorrow, man, with another episode. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, go to anchor.fm/theflank. To check out all the audio sites that we're on, and go follow at The Flank on Twitter. Gersh doing a phenomenal job running socials per usual. As always, man, take care. Brush your hair. Take it easy. And we'll see you guys in the next one, man. Zuma.gg for the merch. Go check it out. How you doing? Goodbye.
How you done?
That's what I'm talking about.
Bye. Damn, that's close. Get away.